A Podshape production.
Have you ever lost something? Maybe it was your keys, your mobile phone, or something more valuable. To find them, you retrace your steps. You look in all the places they're most likely to be, and sometimes you look in places where they're probably not, but just in case. Sometimes when things go missing, you blame other people. You ask them if they've put them somewhere, if they've seen them. You sometimes think the worst. Maybe they've been stolen, taken from you when you weren't looking. Some of those theories that you come up with when something goes missing are far-fetched. You blame and have unreasonable thoughts. Those themes will be explored in this podcast, but not with insignificant material things, but with a person. This is the story of Desmond Francis Carr, who was last seen at 3 p.m. on August 2, 1979, and then he disappeared. Episode 11, The Coroner's Report. Over the last 10 episodes, we've explored what might have happened to my Uncle Des, who went missing more than 40 years ago while working on a road roller just north of Broome. We have had so many people reach out with theories and contacts. The police have been helpful. My family has been supportive, while excited to see what else we could learn. And we've had an excellent response from you. We have always believed that by spreading this story, we might find some answers, or at least inspire some action. Finally, that has happened. You'll remember when we first spoke to Jude Severite from the police. She mentioned the slow process on a coroner's inquest for Des. In 40 years, no inquest was ever done.
So I don't believe that this has gone to the coroner. So we are going through all our a number of our long-term missing persons cases that haven't been to the coroner yet, and putting those forward to close the case from a legal sense, but still it will always remain on our books as a case because that person has never been found.
Well, after 10 episodes and hundreds of thousands of listens, I finally got an email while in a meeting at work. It was from the Missing Persons Department in WA, and it read, "Dear Jay, I'm finalising my report for the coroner in relation to long-term missing person Desmond Carr. I know that you've been in contact with Detective Sergeant Severite, and I was hoping you could help me with a couple of questions. I note that both as Des's parents and his sister Gwen are deceased. Who would be the next of kin? I require this information for my report, as the coroner will write to the next of kin with her ruling. Also, do you know Des's mother's maiden name?" I needed to call Mum. Firstly, because they'd recently moved, so I don't have her address. And secondly, because I can't remember my grandma's maiden name. And finally, I wanted to break the news that she should expect a report from the coroner shortly. This is what we'd all been waiting for.
Hello?
Hey, Mum, it's me.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Hang on, love, I'll just turn it up. Yeah?
What's going on?
We're just having a little lay down.
So you'll remember that over 40 years, Uncle Des, we've never actually had a coroner's inquest. You know that, don't you?
Not really, love.
No. No, well, I've just had news from the police because they wanted your details. They're finally doing a coroner's report.
Oh, you did all this, have you, Joe?
Yeah, well, the podcast helped do it, didn't it?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So, if you're okay, I've given them your home address, which is why I asked for it the other day.
Yeah.
And I've also given them your phone number.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
What will happen now is the police will, the coroner will make a finding on what they believe happened to Uncle Des, and then they'll send you that report.
Oh, okay. Oh, lovely. Okay, thank you.
You've done a bloody good job, love.
So that's good news, I reckon.
Oh, it is. It's fabulous news, Grace. Yeah, and thank you to you too for, you know, taking the time and effort to do it, love.
I don't know how Mum felt about this information. I also know that Mum would take a little bit of time to process the information. I'm worried for her, as she's going to get a letter from the coroner with a finding about her only brother's disappearance. It feels kind of impersonal and a little bit harsh to send a letter as opposed to a phone call or a meeting, but I'm guessing it's just a process. I know this because my cousin Michelle actually emailed me a letter that was sent to the family on October 4, 1979, after they inquired about a possible sighting.
Dear Madam, in reply to your letter dated 25th of September 1979 concerning information about your brother Desmond Carr, I wish to advise that unfortunately we are unable to forward official departmental documents. However, the following information may be of some assistance to your inquiry. A telex message was received from Broome Police on the 21st of September 1979 stating that a person who might be Desmond Carr was believed to be sighted at One Arm Point, an Aboriginal settlement 200 kilometres north of Broome. However, subsequent inquiries by Broome Police who have visited the settlement found the report to be incorrect, and the persons residing there stated...
As I said earlier, it's kind of impersonal, but with over 2,000 long-term missing persons and only a handful of missing persons specialists in WA, I guess it is just a process. Either way, I know it will help our family find some closure. Here's the questions we need to know about the report. Will it have a finding on the body that was found in Newman and once and for all eliminate that as a possible connection to Des? Will it confirm Peter's sighting of Des the weekend after he was reported missing, or will this also not be part of the coroner's report? And also, what do the police think happened to my uncle? This is not the only coronial inquest on my mind. You may have heard that we released a new podcast which chronicles the disappearance of a young man in New South Wales only 3 years ago. His name was Zach Barnes, and his mum Karen is also desperate to ensure her coronial inquest offers up some answers.
Where my understanding is at this point is we're going to request a coronial inquest. There's no guarantee that we'll be granted one. So we could be pushing for all of this, and the coroner has the power to say we don't think it warrants one. And then if that happens, we'll be going to the High Court to demand one. Hopefully that won't happen. I think we've got enough exposure that the coroner might say we need to nip this in the butt sort of thing.
That podcast is called What Happened to Zach, and it's available now wherever you're listening to this podcast. I thought I would try Detective Jude Sevright to see if she found any answers before Mum receives the report in the mail. If I could give Mum and the family a bit of a heads up before she receives the letter, that feels like the right thing to do.
Good afternoon, missing persons. Jude Sevright speaking.
Hello, Jude. It's Jay Walkerton. How are you going?
Hey, good day. Good, thanks. How's things with you?
Well, really good. After hearing from your one of your people that the coroner's report is heading our way shortly, I guess.
Yep, it's off there today.
So, Jude, tell me the process again. Remind me what the process was for a coroner's report.
Well, the police file's been examined and the information that held within the file has resulted in a report to the coroner where the coroner will make a determination in relation to whether Des is likely to be deceased or not, and also the circumstances surrounding that.
And so, thank you, because I know this is something that we spoke about in the first ever episode of this podcast, which, if I can recall, it was about back in the day, these were all paper files, and you were in the process of moving all of those into a digital format, which was then obviously transferred to the coroner. Is that right? Is that what I recall?
Yes, they have been transferred into more of an electronic format, And then also all of that information has been compiled and forwarded on to the coroner.
So there's a couple of questions that you may or may not be able to answer, but one of them I know the family's interested in is that body in Newman. Would that form part of the report to the coroner?
In relation to all of these long-term missing persons and our unidentified human remains, in the process of reconciling those two to ensure that we can hopefully identify all our unidentified human remains. So that's a process that's in consultation with ourselves, obviously the coroner, and the state mortuary.
Okay.
So we're all working together to hopefully identify these outstanding remains and maybe bring some closure to family.
And I guess the only other question that was sort of outstanding was whether there would need to be a DNA sample, but I guess you can't know that until you understand who the remains were.
Yes, that's right. So we'll look at all the circumstances surrounding the remains that have been found in the different cases. And if we believe that a DNA sample from families may help their case, then we will try and source those samples.
You may recall Kylie Ann Connolly, Peter Connolly's daughter, who's offered to help. She had created a poster which she's placing up around notice boards in Derby and Broome. This might feel a little archaic, but in a town like Broome, where people who were growing up in 1979 are now much older and might not know what a podcast is, it might help. Kylie Ann and her dad Peter also offered to check on the memorial cross that was placed by the road about a year after Des's disappearance. They did. And unfortunately, this cross is no longer there. Finally, Kylie Ann put us in contact with John Gray, who was working with Des at Thangu at the time of his disappearance. Could he have some answers?
This is John Gray. You can leave a message for Tricia or myself. See ya.
We left a message for John, and we'll leave our chat with John to the next episode. In the meantime, our next step is to find out what the coroner's report says when it officially lands in Mum's letterbox. It's a painful wait, but no more painful for my mum and family than the last 40 years of not knowing. As soon as we know more, we'll bring it to you, and maybe it will bring some more closure to the disappearance of Des. There are over 38,000 long-term missing person cases in Australia, and the story you've just heard is one of them. We want to continue to help bring these emotional stories of ambiguous loss to you so we can spread the word and hopefully get some closure for the families. For as little as the price of a coffee a month, you can help support us to keep creating this content. Just head to our Patreon page. The link is in the show notes.